Welcome to the Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church podcast. This is a production of Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, where Apostle Walter F. Camp is the senior pastor. This ministry is dedicated to the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, to the end that we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and faithfully walk in the maturity demonstrated by Christ as commanded in Scripture. Make sure you like, subscribe, and hit your notification button to get new messages on a regular basis. Enjoy this message and please study along with us.
Just thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. Father, we just worship you, Father. You are so awesome. Father, I just thank you for all that you're doing, everything that you're doing in our lives, Father, everything that you are enabling us to do. Father, we just thank you for that. Father, I just yield myself to you, Father. Because I am who I am by you, because of you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. And I give honor unto you. It's in your Son Jesus' name that I do pray and I thank you. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. Y'all, it's so weird. I mean, everybody know. Our Father, he the one that that decides what you're going to say and what you ain't going to say. You know, as long as we, I got some water over here. I can grab that one. But as long as you obey him, okay? Well, anyway, I had this message planned out, but I don't know. As I was sitting there, this is what I had planned out. Here's some stuff written out. But anyway, as I was sitting there, he gave me something else, and I'm kind of like, Lord, but anyway, the scripture came up. It was in 1 Timothy 4, but it was like towards the end of the chapter, but I'm going to read the whole chapter because it's all good. How about that? It said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. So we just need to thank God for what he give us, the food, okay. But it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of those of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus. That's what he's all out about. He wants us to, the things that we know, we remind people of, so that it can help them and help us. And he says, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather in godliness. I'm stopped right there. You know, when we was growing up, it was so many old wives' tales that, you know, most people live their lives by. You know, you couldn't walk over the broom. You know, you had to go. You know, if you jumped up, you walked over, you had to go backwards, and you couldn't sweep something in the corner. I remember my mama, she remember all the old wives' tales, all those old tales and stuff. And when we got older, we said, Mama, that stuff ain't true. But you know, when that's what they've been taught, we have to come in and we correct what we know we can, but we do it all in love because it was my mama, and I had to make sure that whatever I said, I didn't get disrespectful or how I said and what I did. Exactly. But let me see. What did I stop it? Oh, to obtain. Okay. Exercise and profit. Anybody remember where I was? 8. For bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. This is what he brought to my attention. Let no man despise thy youth. You know, don't look little at the things that of the youth, the newness of it, but be thou an example of the believers in word, the things that we say, in conversation, how we live, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that they profiting may appear to all. Okay. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's what he told me this morning. And I was just kind of, you know, you look at that and just, you know, God has a sense of humor. Because he had been reminding me over and over to go, he bringing back to my remembrance. You remember when you first started out? And I was kind of like, yeah. And he just kind of made me kind of go back and think on those things. So I remember when, you know, we was new in the things of God. And I had 3 desires. One of my desires was that I wanted a church home. That was one of my desires. I didn't realize that in wanting that, that there was a scripture relating to that, that I don't need to forsake myself from assembling myself together with the brethren. So that's Hebrews 10:25. I didn't know that because I wasn't versed enough in the word, but I knew that desire was in my heart. The second desire he gave me was that I wanted to be better. You know, you just... something and you just want to be, you know, better. I want to do what's right. And through that process, and I didn't realize that either, that, you know, it was God's desires. Those was God's desires that he put in my heart. You know, he tells him, Philippians 2:16, I think, or 13. I think that's what he said. I look at that. I turn to that one. I can find. Now I can't see y'all. I'm crying the whole while. Okay. He said, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God okay, let me go back. Verse 12, it said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out thy your own salvation in fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God that put that desire in my heart. I didn't realize that it was God. I didn't, because I didn't know enough. The only thing I knew that we're supposed to go to church. I knew that much, but I had no idea. But it was scripture that was relating to that. I didn't know, because the church I went to, it was always the basic stories. You heard the basic stuff. Jonah, you heard the different little stories, but nobody really taught you much about how to really live this life. And the third desire that I had was that I wanted my husband to lead our family. I mean, what young woman wants that? Not many, but I did. That desire, but I know it had to come from God, because it wasn't something that I would think of to just whatever, but that desire was there. And I remember praying to God. I said, God, I want to be better. I want me a church, and I want my husband to take lead, because, he worked a lot. He was out of town a lot, and there was a lot of responsibility was fell on me, and I didn't want it. I was kind of like, Lord, you got to do something, because I don't want this. And now I catch myself wanting it. I'm kind of like, wait a minute. Something ain't right about that. So God tell me, remember back when. You shouldn't be wanting to be here. You should want to be back in your position that I place you in. And that's what he was telling me. He said, you shouldn't want that. But sometimes God had to remind you, find your place. Go back in your place. Because one time he came to tell me, he said, you know what? I like you better when you didn't say much. But when he said it, I couldn't get mad about it, because I knew what he was saying. He was saying, when you used to do that, you were so much easier to deal with. But now you think you can say something back. And he told me, and when he said that, it hit. I was kind of like, wow. Yeah, it makes sense. Because in my mind, I wasn't. But the thing that wasn't happening was, I remember back then, that whole desire was there. Because that desire was there, I had started to, how the scripture talk about how you resist the devil, he'll flee. You draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. Okay, sis. Yeah, I turn there too, because I can't quote it. James 4, it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. He said, verse 7, James 4, verse 7. Okay, I'll go back. Okay, I'll do 5. Do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusted to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resisteth the proud, but give it grace unto the humble. And I didn't realize that all of that was what I was, me wanting to be here, all of it was pride. I didn't realize that. I just thought that it was just part of life, because just about every woman I knew was running stuff. They was running the house. My mama ran the house, but it's because my daddy didn't want to be, he just didn't want to do nothing. He was half there, to be honest about it. He was there. He there Monday through Thursday. Friday, when he got in from work, mama made his bath water. He dressed up and he left. We saw him again on Monday. But that's the way it was. And so everything that had to be done, she had to do all of the discipline. She had to do everything, because mama, she always said, she said, I don't know why I even married your daddy. Because she said that because my daddy wasn't he wasn't that type person that liked to fix. He'll fix on cars. But when it came around to the house stuff, and for instance, just in case the house was leaking, the roof was leaking, my mom had to get up there and fix the roof, because it was just the way that she took care of everything.
You know, she took care of everything inside and just about everything outside because my daddy just was, he was one of the people that considered himself one of them pretty boys. He didn't think he's supposed to do that. But that was just who he was. Some people were just like, but she chose to stay with him. So what can you say about that? But anyway. But, you know, our lives was like that. And I was catching myself. I didn't realize what was going on, basically. I didn't realize that that's what I was doing. I didn't realize that me wanting to be that way, to you know, talk out of turn, you know, when I'm not, he not asking me, you know. He did all the time, I don't need your help. You know, he's very vocal. And anybody know my husband know that he would tell you. And trust me, he remind me on a daily basis to stay in my lane, watch yourself. You know, yeah, Ken Wayne, he do. That's who he is. Okay. I was on verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from thee. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. I'm going to stop right there. Yeah. Okay. Well, now I keep going to 10, okay. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And that's where I end up having to do. I had to humble myself. Because as I was, you know, I've gave my testimony on many times, and I'm sure y'all heard it, and because I tell it quite a bit, because it's so important, because to learn the steps of how we got where we were, and knowing that it may be other people that's out there that's struggling with the same things. And so what happened was that I had this lady, she gave me, she told me, all she said was read 1 Peter 3. That's what she said. I read one scripture. I don't remember reading the whole thing. I read that one scripture, and I ran with that one scripture. I didn't know what he said conversation meant. I didn't know what that word meant. I can turn there. Okay. I didn't know what it meant, but it was, so a lot of things I didn't know, but it was like, and it's like I wasn't trusting my own ability. It's like as I drew closer to God, he drew closer to me, and I would catch myself, the things I thought I couldn't do, like read his word, I caught myself, as I would read it, I started to get a little bit more understanding of what God was saying. And so The scripture said, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by your conversation, by the conversation of the wife, by how I was acting, behaving, my reaction to stuff. And I had got to a point where I was kind of like, you know, I said, God, what do it mean? I remember talking so much to God. And I remember him leading me and guiding me because I didn't quite understand because he told me to go back and remember. And I was trying to remember. I said, God, I didn't understand dinner. And we were just talking, holding a conversation. And I said, I didn't quite understand what you said. But I remember that God would always talk to me. As I would ask him questions, he always said something back to me. So when he said my life, that conversation, I didn't realize it was really my lifestyle, but that's the first thing that I started changing was the way I was acting. I changed the way I was acting, the way that I was doing things. He didn't ever have to say anything that I was doing that was wrong because I watched. Not only did I kept it before my eyes, everything. I kept it before my eyes. I never would forget. I always would go back. Even when those little thoughts would come in, I would go back. And I said, God, I would talk to him. I said, God, I said, what am I supposed to do now? Because sometimes it was hard. It was hard because I didn't really know. But he was teaching me every step of the way. That's when y'all used to make fun of me because y'all said I would run real quick with the kids when I would leave. But I knew God was teaching me. He was teaching me, okay? Any little excuse, that's all it was going to take, was any little excuse for him to decide that, no, them folks ain't right. And you ain't, you know, because if they were right, you would have came on home. And I never told them anything I heard or saw people do. You think I told Kenny? Nope. You know why? Because he was looking for an excuse. And God said, don't give him there. So I would go every day, every day. I would look at that scripture, that one scripture, basically. I don't think I even went further than that. But I would look at that, and I would look at it, and I said, what are you saying? And he was just, like I said, he was just teaching me. He was just telling me what to do, what not to do, what to go, what not to go, what to say, what not to say. Because a lot of times, you know, this that was always most a lot of women, that can be our problem. We sometimes, yeah, we say stuff that we ain't got no business saying because we don't have the authority to say it. But now, and the thing about it was, you know, let's talk about it. As I got this pride and I got all this stuff under control and I humbled myself. And then I saw him starting to elevate me. It's like once he got himself together, he started saying, you know, he would say nice things about me. He was proud of me as a wife because he knew that I kept, I would watch my mouth. Because I was continually doing those things. The things I had learned, I didn't stop doing them. I did them. I just kept doing them because that's what God had told me to do. And that's what kept our home in such a good state because of me receiving what God had said, but I didn't forget it. But then lately, I caught myself kind of like, wait a minute now. You know how you think, okay, maybe I done got a little past this one now, so maybe I don't need, you know, I can kind of say stuff. Yeah, he's a big boy now. He don't mind me saying this. But yeah, men don't ever become what you call a big boy. They know their place, and they want you in your place. And that was the thing was I had to continue to remind myself over and over again, okay, now you got to remember, know what God said. I always look at what he say. But it was so easy at one point because I wasn't doing what it was take, what it took for me to stay there. It takes me to take that time out to meditate God's word, spend that time with him. You know, sometimes you think you don't have enough time. You got enough time. Because sometimes it's like I lay in the bed and God just be talking to you. You know, you should have did. You should have. I'm kind of like, yep, sure should have. You know, whatever. But he constantly talks to us to remind us because he don't ever want us to fail. He wants us to continue on to go on. Because how can I teach somebody else if I ain't getting it myself? And that's his whole desire is for me to be able to get up to teach the younger women, to tell the younger women, this is what you're supposed to do. Scripture, Titus. We'll start with verse 1. It said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. I'm sorry, 2, chapter 2. He says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise, we're supposed to be doing all that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Do you know so many people that don't really love their husbands? I know some people that's like that. they don't, you can tell by their lifestyle. You tell by what they're doing. You can't love somebody if you always putting them down. That's not love. Always going to say stuff that, you know, negative about them and not prefer them. Love prefers. Love want to do. Love is an action word. It wants to do. It wants to go above and beyond to make you happy, to do what's necessary to bring peace and stuff. It said that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not ashamed. Because that was God's desire. Oh, wait, okay. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Okay, can I stop there? Okay. Verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Okay. And we don't realize that that's our judgment, okay? When God judged Adam and Eve, okay, it was, we turn them in Genesis. We'll go to Genesis. Which one? Titus 2. I'm going to keep going. In all things, verse 7, all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil things to say of you. See, that's important to make sure that, you know, people don't be trying to find, can actually say that it's true about you. You don't want that to be said about you. But it's so easy that we get to a point where we just kind of like going by our lives and we forget about that, hey, our whole purpose on this earth is to be there for somebody else, to help other people, help them to guide them along the way, to let them know that, okay, it may seem hard, but it's really not. It's easy, you know? But I was going to say something. I was going to Genesis. I was going to say that, the Genesis part, because we go to Genesis, I think that's 3, right? When he judged Adam and Eve for sinning. Okay. Okay, we'll start at verse 13, I guess. Verse 9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gave it to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And said, she gave it to me. She ate it, and it didn't happen to her. So I figured it was good, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And I tell you what, when he judged us good on that one. Because I tell you, That's one thing. I can say this, though. After giving birth to four children, okay, after the first one, I said, I'd never do it again. But it's amazing how your mind forgets for a minute. It gets past and you kind of thinking, okay, I can do it one more time. Yeah, Kelly, yeah. Exactly, I said, well, I can do it one more time. And then I thought, okay. But then after the second one, you think to yourself, no, I'm not going to do it no more. Because you remember those thoughts come back, kind of like, okay, but this is all okay. It's okay. And then on the last one, I thought it was going to be one more. But God knew that I needed two more. So he blessed us with two more. So then we feel like, we don't want no more. He was saying then, I don't want no more. Because Kenneth said, if the two would have came in the beginning, we probably wouldn't have had but two. But because, you know, with so much work, it's a lot of, when you're raising children, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work when you're trying to make sure that you take care of them, you're nourishing them, you're doing everything you can, you're trying to discipline them, you're trying to teach them, trying to make sure they didn't fall down them steps, that they would fall out over and over until they finally caught on that, hey, maybe I need to bag back down them down that step. But, you know, it's just constantly just teaching and stuff. Let me see. He said, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, okay? And he shall rule over thee. So when he judged mankind and he gave the women that judgment, I'm supposed to love my husband. My desire, my longing should be for my husband only, okay? And then because I desire my husband and because I love him, my desire now is to make sure that he take his place. I wanted him to rule over me. I wanted him to take that position that God wanted him to have in the beginning, but I didn't understand that because, like I said, I didn't know nobody that was actually doing that. I didn't know that many women, that many families where the man was actually leading the family, you know, making those decisions. Because a lot of decisions, you know, it's kind of like, I'm glad Ken is able to do that because I'm kind of, I don't think I could do that one because some of those decisions be kind of hard because you kind of like, you know, you have to think about, it's a lot of weighted stuff sometimes that, you know, me being a woman, I don't think that would, I probably could through God's help, but I don't need to try to go over my husband to do it. That's all I'm saying. But you know, God is so faithful and he's a good God. He makes sure that, you know, we kind of stay in our place with the whole thing because it's easy to kind of want to step out of your place a lot of times. Because you think that, you know, pride say that, okay, you know, I can do it a little bit better. You know, he know how to do this, but if he did it my way, we could probably get this result. But that's not how God thinks. God don't, he don't want me to overstep my bounds and try to go over my husband to do different things. He want me to stay where I am, stay where you are. And the thing about it, and it's as me talking about all of that, I was just thinking that you see how God, he, like I say, my whole thing was I just want to make sure that I pleased him. That was my heart desire. I just want to please God. I just want to make sure that when he tell me something, that I give attention, I give ear to it. I don't just ignore what he says because it's so easy. The easy thing to do is to ignore, but it's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is that when God speaks, to listen. And then as he tell you different things, do it. That was the main thing, because that's what I had to learn. You doing it. I had to do it. It was a doing thing. Everything was doing. I had to do it. And the times when I thought that I couldn't do it, I would just call. I said, Lord, I don't think I can do it. He said, yeah, you can do it. You're equipped to do it. You can do it. Because to love, it's pretty easy. But the problem is that most people don't want to love like they should. It's easy to do. You can forgive people. You don't have to hold on to stuff. See what I'm saying? But the thing about it, that's just like you said, most people don't want to submit to God. Because if you ever submit to God, you can resist all that stuff that Satan put in your mind. Trust me. He speaks all the time. He be telling me all the time, no, don't listen. And I'm saying to myself, but God said, I better listen, because one thing about it, one thing that I can say is y'all may realize I love my husband, okay? And he makes sure on a daily basis, if he sees something, he do not ignore it. If he don't do it right then, he'll come back later on that evening and say, do you remember when you did? So I'm kind of like, did I do that? sometimes I do be the forget. I said, did I do that? He said, yep, you sure did. He said, now that's what I'm talking about. You got to learn how to shut it up. But that's the thing about it, is that making sure that I stay consistent with everything that God has given me, the words that he's given me, the life that he's enabled me to live, that I can live this life and other people can see it and want to do better. People should be able to look at what I'm doing and say, hey, that's a good godly woman right there. I mean, how did she get there? And I should be able to tell my story, and it should be able to help somebody. So somebody else should say, hey, so all you had to do was submit to God, resist the devil, and then Satan ran away. Then I drew near to him because I wanted him. I wanted him in my life. So the only way I could get him there, I had to do some things. That means I had to pick up this word. Like I said, stuff started making a little sense then. Because like I said, me and Ken used to say all that. He said, boy, we were pretty bad. Because when he first came in Rice Memorial, he didn't know what the books of the Bible were. He didn't know where to find them at. He knew he would open it up, but he could never, he didn't know where they were. He didn't know the reading part. He said all of it looked like gibberish to him. He didn't understand that stuff. And that's when he would put it back in the calendar. No, that stuff don't make no sense, because it felt like it was contradicting itself all the time. But that's what it is. But then we started coming. We started learning and growing up. And that's what, you know, as babes. We came as babes, but God grew us up. We started desiring his word. And then we started growing. And then God said, okay, Kenny Wayne, you can stop running now. And then he accepted his call. He accepted his call. While I was here, he was back on, it's at Mother Rogers' funeral, I think. That's when he heard God, and he received what God had said. And from that point on, he received, and when he received his, I received mine, because it's like, I didn't quite understand, but I knew it was something. I knew God had something for me. I knew if he had it for him, he must have something for me too. And that's how I looked at it. I looked at it like, it's even when it came to speaking in tongues or whatever, Walter called Kenny up, but as he was speaking, I started speaking too, and from my seat. But it was that whole thing, is that whatever God got, and if it's good enough for my husband, it's got to be good enough for me too. I want it too, you know? And that was the whole thing. That's how women have to start looking at things. Like, you know, we find our way. We help our husband. We help him. We help him by being obedient to him, submitting ourselves to him. That helps them. Knowing that they ain't got to, because kids stay all the time. It feels good to come home and not have to fight with you after I done fought with them folks all day long at work. But they do. It makes them feel good. And he used to tell me all the time. But now in the time when he do have to come home and get me, he'll say, you know, I hate to have to come home and fight with you. And I done been there word with them, fighting with them all day long, you know. But you should want, I didn't want him not to fight with me. I wanted to make sure I kept myself, you know, so that he wouldn't have to feel that way. So that means I had to start controlling my feelings, my emotions, the way that I was feeling. Because a lot of times, you know, you get to thinking, well, you know, he just, you know, he means sometimes. You know, that's how they make you think. He just mean. But I have to control all of that. All those thoughts that Satan try to bring to you and make you think that, you know, think this way about your husband. You know, think those thoughts about your husband. And knowing that he got my best interest at heart, he'll tell you in a minute. I got her best interest at heart. I'm not going to do nothing. He tell myself, I'm not going to do nothing to hurt you. Why would you think that whatever decision I make, I'm not going to do it to hurt you? You know? And so, and that's the whole thing, is just making sure that we just kind of, like I said, it's not what I had to preach on, but it's just what God put in my heart. And so, let me see, I got a little bit more time, though. I can talk a little bit more. But anyway, it was just that there was things that God put in my heart, just sitting there. And I was sitting there, and I always said, Lord, use me. I don't want to always, I don't want to have to always write out what I want to say. But I want to be in a position that if it come up, that you can, I can give it out. Like I said, those scriptures, I thank God for bringing them back to my memories. But like I said, I hadn't per se studied on those scriptures, but he brought it up because that's what he wanted to be said. And that's our whole job, is to be there and to give out what he gives us. Because like I said, I was asking about the Persians, because I wanted to learn some history. I hear y'all be talking about these kingdoms and how it was split and Judah and Israel. I'm kind of like, I want to know some of that stuff too. So I studied on all this. You know how you, I wanted to know. So I was kind of, I said, no, now can you break that down for me? Now who was who? Who was what? You know, because I wanted to know. But that's what God wants. He wants us to know. It will sound funny, but it was because we were so old school that it's kind of like, you know, the history part of it. You know, I read the Bible, but I didn't know who was what. It's kind of like, you know, God said this, and these were God people. These wasn't, you know. But a lot of stuff that I didn't quite understand. But it's like I started looking into that. And then I started looking at those Persians, you know, Persians and all them people. Like, and I was kind of like, I realized that even in Esther, I didn't realize, because I did read over a little of that. And it was kind of like it was talking about how I didn't realize that during that time, the reason that she went out and she had her own feast, because the men were, they did their own, they had theirs, but the women were separate. The women did their thing separate and everything. And I didn't realize, but I had to research it. But it just gave you, and it was just the best feeling to just spend all that time and just looking at stuff, because that's what God wants. He wants to be those little, you know how babies are? How they can, they start learning and they get a little bit, then get a little bit more, and then next thing you know, they learn. You see what I'm saying? He wants to be like those sponges. Even though sometimes our sponge feel like that it won't absorb sometimes, because you feel like, you know, it seems so hard sometimes. Kind of like, wait a minute, that means I got to go back. Wait a minute, it don't make sense. Wait a minute, let me go back. Let me find another scripture. You know, stuff like that. But that's what God is after. He wants us to be able to learn more, to try to absorb a little bit more. Because like I say, it was hard. It was hard. It was hard for me because I don't know history. I hated history in school. So I avoided history and civics. I can't even tell you what a senator, I mean, see what I'm saying? I didn't, that was not my interest. I did not have an interest. It did not mean anything to me. And every time I learned it, I learned enough to pass a test, and then I'd say, whoop, there you go. I don't need that no more. And that's how I learned. That's how I did history and civics and all that stuff like that, because it wasn't important to me. I didn't think it was that important. But now as I get older, I wish I would have learned about these kings and these this different people and stuff like that that they talked about in the history books and stuff. But I didn't know. I didn't have a desire to know. But I thank God that now, as I grow up, that he wants me to learn a little bit more about other stuff too. And I am grateful to him, and I'm thankful to him, because he wants us to be well-rounded, well-versed in the things of God.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us today. Worship at Rice Memorial begins with Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., followed by praise and worship at 10:45. And on Wednesday nights, we have Bible study from 7 to 8 p.m. Children's Church is also available, where they can receive the Word of God on their level. Once again, Don't forget to like, subscribe, and hit your notification button to get new messages on a regular basis. You can also like us on Facebook and visit our webpage at ricememorialbaptistchurch.org. Rice Memorial is located at 15th and State in Little Rock, but for the time being, we're worshiping at City Church in College Station, Arkansas. Thanks again for tuning in.